I want to talk to you on this subject. God's word is bigger than his names. God's word is bigger than all his names. Now, as you're well aware, the Psalms are filled with wonderful statements. And a lot of it is giving praise, giving glory to God. However, when I read the Psalms, I have a tendency to watch for something else. And like a lot of other people, I have found numerous statements in the Psalms that have an amazing level of revelation. Say revelation. And I'm talking about revelation not typically found anywhere else in the Old Covenant. Now, when I find these revelations, it always makes me wonder just how much the writer really understood about what he was saying. Jesus made this comment one day. It's Matthew chapter 13, verses 16 and 17. I'm reading from the New King James. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So there you are. The curiosity was there. The desire to know was there. But there are many things that the prophets and that the righteous men of old said that they wanted to know more about. They desired to see. They desired to hear. But they didn't see and they didn't hear. But we see and we hear. Amen. Now let's go a little different direction with that. When Isaiah said all of those wonderful things about Jesus, and I mean there's a lot of detail, and they were all true, and they were all very accurate, but how much of that did Isaiah understand? Did he have any idea that he was talking about the very Son of God? The living God? I really don't think so. Now, perhaps what makes me think this way is experiencing something very similar, but of course, on a different level. Because I would never place the prophetic words that I speak on a level with the Word of God. That would be wrong. But many times I have heard words come out of my mouth and I wondered even while I was speaking them, what is the meaning of this? Now some of you are looking at me like, Pastor, you mean you say things and you don't even understand what you're saying? By the Holy Ghost, absolutely, yes, I do. And it happens rather frequently, to tell you the truth. So a lot of times I leave a service wondering, why did God say that like that? Why did he express it in that particular way? And one thing I have noticed, and I hope you have too, is that many times when God speaks, he is doing exactly what Paul wrote about in the book of Romans, Chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, just so you get it, say this out loud. By the Holy Ghost, God quickens the dead Let's say it again. By the Holy Ghost, God quickens the dead. You understand, that's why when the Holy Ghost speaks, in some churches it shakes them up so bad. Hello? Because he quickens the dead, in case you didn't get that. You get the dead shook up, you're really getting something shook up, I'm telling you. But notice, he calls those things which be not as though they were. See, this is the reason a lot of people miss it when God is speaking to them. And they don't recognize it's God speaking to them, and they just try to brush it off, shove it away, put it out of their mind, because they don't get it that God talks like this. He speaks of those things that are not as though they were. Much of what God says is creative in nature. Perhaps all of His words are creative. But just as important, God is constantly calling things which be not as though they were, because this restores and it creates. You got something needs to be restored? Start calling those things that be not as though they were. I just can't leave that alone lately. Start calling those things that be not as though they were. When the doctor says blah, 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 don't get mad at the doctor. Call those things that be not as though they were. Don't expect him to understand. Most of them will look at you cross-eyed because they don't get it. But do it anyway. Do it anyway. Call those things that be not as though they were. There would be no creation without God calling those things which be not as though they were. There would also never be any restoration unless God did that. But we don't need to just leave that in God's mouth. I said, we don't need to just leave that in God's mouth. That needs to come out of our mouth. Calling things that be not as though they were is what gives vitality. It gives energy. It gives aliveness to every living thing. And this is exactly how God quickens the dead. And this is the heartbeat of faith. Do you really understand how much we've been chosen to be like God? I said, do you really understand how much we have been chosen to be like God? This is what it means to bear His image. Not that you got the same color hair God has. God would have a weird looking head of hair. Think about it. We got lots of different colors of hair here. If the only way you could bear His image and likeness was for your hair to be the same color, you got to have all these colors in His hair. No, that ain't it. No, that's not it. Listen to me. What it means to bear His image and His likeness is you speak like God speaks. You talk like God talks. You act like God acts. You do what God would do. It's not always easy, but it's always possible. Say this out loud. It's not always easy. It's not always easy. But it's always possible. It's always possible to talk like God talks, to speak like God speaks, to act like God acts, to do what God would do. It's not always easy, But it's always possible. Amen. Amen. See, you can't really separate true faith from the true prophetic. You really can't. They're not the same, but they belong together. They belong together. Maybe in time I'll say some more along those lines. We'll just see what the Lord does with all that. But for right now, just take what I'm saying to you. When prophecy is true, when it's correct, I'm talking about the words of a prophet. Really, you can't separate that from true faith. What I'm telling you is a bunch of you have prophesied a whole lot more than you've ever thought you did. Okay, I'll say this now. What is happening when you're prophesying? And I'm talking about more than exhortation, edification, and comfort. I'm talking about more than that. I'm talking about on a broader range. I'm talking about including the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and the discerning of spirits. All of that can play over into the prophetic. That's why I labeled it that way. What is going on when all that is taking place? You are by faith calling those things that be not as though they were. That's why the ungodly think us prophets are nuts. Because we refuse to talk about what is. Yeah. But I'll tell you what will be. I said, I'll tell you what will be. Amen. Now, all that was building up to this. I set out to introduce something from Psalm 138. There is a very interesting phrase found in this psalm that I want to focus on today. Now, there's more than one, but this is just today. Psalm 138, verses 1 through 3. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Now it's that last phrase that has my attention. For you have magnified your word above all your name. That statement has intrigued me for a very, very long time. I've looked at it. I've talked a little bit about it here and there. But never to the depth that I'm going to go today. Why would God make a statement like that? What exactly was he communicating to us through David? You have magnified your word above all your name. The Hebrew word translated magnified means to make great. So you have made great your word above all your name. So this raises some questions. How did God make his word great above all his name? What does it mean for God's word to be made greater than all his name? And perhaps more important, why? Why did God choose to magnify his word above his name? Now the only way to understand this is to know the setting, the spiritual climate into which David spoke this revelation. What I'm about to tell you is something that you know in part. You may not have connected all of these pieces together like we're about to do today, so stay with me. There are many names of God listed in the Old Testament. Many of them. Here's just a few. El Shaddai. Hold on. El Shaddai. He's magnified his word above El Shaddai. Don't you think for a moment that puts the name El Shaddai down. That tells you something awesome about his word. I didn't do this. God did this. Here's another one. El Elyon, Adonai, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Zidkenu, Elohim, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rea. There's a bunch of them. A whole lot of names. David said, you have magnified your word above all your name. But now, under the old covenant, something rather strange also happened. Now, it was partly out of awe, partly out of respect, and partly out of absolute downright fear. But the people of Israel would not actually speak God's name. And I am talking specifically about the name God called himself when he spoke to Moses, and Moses asked God, what is your name? And to this day, we do not know for sure how to say YHWH. We still don't know what that is. All we know is that is what God told Moses that his name is. YHWH. Now, this is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, starting in verse 13. I'm reading from Holman. Then Moses asked God, if I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. That's what you tell them. I am who I am. Stop right there for just a second. Let me tell you something really cool about the Hebrew language. In English, we have this to be verb. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to teach an English lesson here. Probably some English teachers here could do a better job than that. Okay. But that doesn't really exist in Hebrew like it does in English. In Hebrew, I can say, I was. I can say, I will be, but as a human speaking Hebrew, I would never utter the words, I am. You know why? Because that's God's name. And in ancient Hebrew, you will never hear them speaking of the present tense. I was, I will be, but only he am. You got that, didn't you? Who should I say sent me? Tell him I am that I am. That's the one that sent me. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also told Moses, said to Moses, say this to the Israelites. Yahweh. See, that's the way we have come to pronounce YHWH. Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered in every generation. YHWH. Yahweh. Let's just use it. Yahweh. And here comes David, and he says, you've magnified your word above, I am, above Yahweh. Do you understand what this is doing to the word? Okay, I'm going to be sure you get this. First, there was the Jesus movement. And that was wonderful. And then that was followed by the Word movement. God did that. I said, God did that. That was not a man's idea. Now keep listening. In the oldest text, in verse 15, you only find those letters, YHWH. At one point, the Israelites knew how to say this word, but they stopped saying it, and most of them would not even write those four letters. They were very hesitant to do that. Now, I don't want you to get all caught up in all the technicalities. I'm trying to press something upon you that's very real. Think about what happened as a result of this conversation between Moses and Yahweh. What happened because of that conversation? Tell me in a couple of sentences. What happened because of what I just read to you from Exodus chapter 3? What happened? You know, Israel was delivered out of Egypt's bondage. That's how much that name meant to them. It was the use of this name that got them delivered from Egypt's bondage, which they still celebrate to this day. But now consider their dilemma. The only real access they have to the power of God is found in His name, and at least as far as they know and understand, at the same time, they are afraid to even speak His name. Let me say that again. The only real access they have to the power of God is found in His name, and yet they're afraid to express His name, to speak His name. God's name becomes such a huge deal to these people, so huge they would not even say His name. They had that much respect for His name. Was the respect wrong? No. But it was like their entire relationship with God was wrapped up in His names, but they did not have that same respect for His word. They disobeyed His word all the time. They argued with what He said. They went against what God said. You've all studied the Bible. You know what a disobedient group of people the Israelites were. They spent years roaming around in the wilderness because they would not do what God told them to do. Say this out loud. God's word did not have the same respect and the same place in their hearts that His name had. They were afraid to speak God's name. But think about this. The Israelites had so little regard for God's word, they would often allow their fear of what might happen if they did what God said to do, that the fear stopped them from obeying His word. All of their confidence was in God's name, with little to no confidence in His word. They magnified His name above His word. You're quiet. You're thinking. I said they magnified His name, YHWH, above His word. David said God has magnified His word above all His name. Let me tell you something else about these names. There's a whole bunch of them that where that name comes from is there was an event. There was something that happened. The Israelites saw something. And so they lived more by what they could see than they did by what they heard. their whole relationship with God was caught up in names that came about because of something they saw, and at the same time they were caught up with that, they disobeyed the word of the Lord again and again and again and again and again. I shouldn't say that. I know what y'all are thinking. Where's he going with this? He's going to hit us for something here in a minute. He's building up to something. I know he is. Yeah, I am. Let me ask you some questions. Can you find me one scripture where it is recorded that God said to Israel, if you speak my name, you'll die? No. But then can you think of an example where God said, just in so many words, if you don't do what I'm telling you, you will die? How about we start with the Garden of Eden? You hear the differences? They're thinking, we don't dare speak the name of God. What are they doing? They are exalting that name. They are exalting that name. But God said, we could take this land. Look at all those giants. They're bigger than we are. We can't do this. We're not going in there. We're not going to get killed just because God said we could. But we're not going to speak His name. Are you getting the picture? You know what caused Adam to die. It was not because he spoke God's name. It was because he went against God's word. And it is in that context of people all around David magnifying God's name over his word that David comes out with this great revelation that God has magnified his word, made his word bigger, greater than all his name. You think God's name should be magnified? Magnify His word even more. You honor God's name? Honor His word even more. God has placed His word above His name. Now, that brings us to the new covenant. And boy, this gets even more interesting. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. You got to say that loud. Say it out loud. He gave him a name which is above every name. Say it again. Every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God exalted Jesus, and He gave Him a name which is above every name. The name of Jesus is above every name. Whatever YHWH stands for, the name of Jesus has been highly exalted above that name. The name of Jesus is more highly exalted than that entire list of names that I read to you a moment ago. Jesus is higher than Jehovah Rapha. Hello? Jesus is higher than Jehovah Sidkenu. You just go right down through the list. His name is higher than all those names. Now, are you ready? But this does not change the fact that God has magnified His Word above all His name. The fact of the matter is, when God exalted the name of Jesus, at the same time, He magnified His Word even more. If I had about 3 or 4 hours to teach this, boy, I'd get off into some things that would just, wow. How about this? In the beginning was the Word. Now, I can't do this with the language, but I could sure do it with theology. He's magnified His Word above His name. In the beginning was the Word. You'll have to chew on that one. I just threw it out there for some of you that you like to meditate. You like to think about these things. Think on these things. Think on these things. Jesus Himself said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away." Now somebody might say, oh, but those verses in Philippians 2, 5 through 11, they say that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, they do say that. But where did we get that information? We got it from God's Word. Oh, but I know that I'm healed in Jesus' name. Whatever gave you that notion? Where did you get that idea? Where did that thought come from? By His stripes you were healed. Yes, you believe you're healed in Jesus' name. But it's based on the Word. Are you getting this? Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. I want you to clearly understand. Thank God for the name of Jesus. Where did we learn about it? We love the name of Jesus. Where did we learn to do that? From the Word. We praise the name of Jesus. Where did we get that? From the Word. We love to sing about the name of Jesus. Where did we get that idea? From the Word. We pray in the name of Jesus. Whatever made us think of that? The Word. I'm simply endeavoring to show you the power, the magnificence, the importance, the awesomeness of what we carry around in a book or on our phone. Wow. Think about that. You've probably never been asked to do this in a service. It's always time for a first. Get out your phone. Everybody that's got a Bible on your phone, get out your phone. If you've got the Bible on your phone, get out your phone. Don't turn the ringer on. We'll have an orchestra going here. I just want you to do something. Get out your phone. You got a Bible on it. Now I want you to hold that phone up in the air. Hold it up in the air. It looks like this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. All right, now listen. Hold it up in the air. I want you to say something. Say, on this phone is contained the Word of God. God has exalted His Word above all His name. I have something so powerful in this phone that if I'll just take hold of it, I can receive anything I need. Any time of day, any time of night. Hallelujah. Just don't tell Apple. They'll try to get a patent on it or something. I really want you to take this home with you. I'm trying to show you that His Word is highly magnified. And it is the highly magnified Word of the living God where we get all these things that we embrace so. Here's another Bible example. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The Word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth, are you getting this? The Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. This is all about words. Words based on that highly exalted Word. For the Scripture says, the Word says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow, what an emphasis being placed on the Word. If we did not have the Word, we would never know how to use the name of Jesus. What I'm telling you is not something that happened at my accident. It happened on purpose. It was a part of God's plan. He had to get people away from only trying to live their lives by things they saw and words they would not speak. Hello? He had to move people away from that. He had to move people away from that to getting this Word in their heart so that whenever you speak the Word out of your mouth, things happen. Things happen. I'm not through with this. Just stay with me. Look at that verse again. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice that does not say, for whosoever knows about the name of the Lord. Do you see that? It takes saying something. It takes words. And you got to know what words. And it can be real simple. Real simple. Like, God, if you're real, show yourself. Let me know it. I'll believe in you. It's no more complicated than that. Now I have another question. On what basis can we declare whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved? It's on the basis of the Word, isn't it? So make sure everything you say, make sure everything you do is based on the Word. The Word is your covenant. The Word is your guarantee. The Word is where you find His promises. Now these are Old Testament verses, but they're still true. Psalm 119, 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Those are illustrations of the Word being magnified. Now at the same time, we must never forget it is in the name of Jesus. That name that gives us access to what the Word says. For example, if I walked up to a vault, knowing that that vault contained $100 billion, it would do me no good if I did not have the combination to the lock. But once I have that combination and I get in the vault and get my hands on the $100 billion, my whole perspective of the combination changes. Start to say a little bit. No, it changes a lot. I'm very grateful for the combination. I know I would have never received the $100 billion without having the combination. I deeply appreciate having the combination. If I left some of that money in the vault, I don't know how you carry $100 billion. I would make sure I never forget that combination. I would think about that combination a lot. I would repeat it to myself because nothing happens without the combination. Now, that's not the best illustration, but it helps you to set these two things in proper relationship to one another. The name of Jesus and the Word of God, never separate them. Keep them together. We must have them both. But just keep this clear in your thinking. It is the Word of God that expresses His will. And every time I pray, I must pray according to His will. Yes, I pray in the name of Jesus. But what am I praying? I am praying the will of God, which I got from the Word of God. And then I am using my access to the throne room of heaven, where I stand boldly before the throne, having the name of Jesus as my right to be there, to make my petitions known based on the very words which God has spoken and which He has highly magnified above His name. That's a mouthful. Yes, it is. Now, everybody stand, please. You're going to be chewing on this one a while. I know that. That's why I do it. I don't like to preach sermons that people forget before they get the car started to go home. I don't like those kind of sermons. I don't like to preach sermons where somebody says, "Man, that was great." Somebody else says, "Well, what did he say?" And the answer is, "Well, I'm not sure." I try to make sure you understand. So we're going to say some things together. Say, "Lord, I praise You.
Lord, I praise You.
I praise Your name, Lord Jesus.
I praise Your name, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus.
Every false and perverse God in this earth, I praise Your name boldly in front of those who worship the false gods of this earth. I will praise You. I will always praise Your name. I refuse to be intimidated by ungodly men and women who don't know You. They don't know Your word, but I do. They don't have Your word, but I do. They don't know Your name, but I do." They speak the name of Jesus in mockery and jest, but they don't know You. I do know You. I know You, Lord Jesus, and I know Your word. Father, You magnified Your word above all Your name. And then You gave me Your word. I hold Your word in high esteem. Amen. David said The kings of this earth will praise you when they hear the words of your mouth. Lord, I believe that. So I praise you. And I speak your words today with great boldness. I am influencing others to praise you because I praise you. Thank you for more boldness. You are high above all things. Yet you have great regard for me and what concerns me, enough to give me your highly exalted word and the right to use the name of Jesus. When trouble is near me, when the devil comes against me, you are always near. I found that in your word. You will always deliver me. I found that in your word. I know this because your word says so. So I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'll let you be seated. Folks, this is no longer just a book. I said, this is not just a book. This is not just something to read. This is God's highly exalted word. Wow. The whole point of this message is one thing: to impress upon you what a powerful, powerful thing is happening when the word comes out of your mouth. That's the whole point of it. You're not just quoting scripture. You're not just saying something because it sounds good. You have picked up something God has exalted above all His name. You've put it in your heart, and it comes out of your mouth. That's why you can expect it to happen. I said, that's why you can expect it to happen. I said, that's why you can expect it to happen. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Praise God.